Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Cynthia Hyatt, professional psychotherapist and relationship expert. In private practice for over 20 years, Cynthia specializes in teaching individuals, groups, and organizations about how to be successful in relationships, how to handle the variety of differences each gender brings, and ultimately, how to be your own best version. With a dynamic and enthusiastic approach, Cynthia helps each person understand how temperament and gender affects every relationship and inspires her audiences to become all God created them to be. With this understanding, she shares practical tools, resources, and wisdom to guide each person to a transformational understanding of themselves and others. You can find Cynthia on the web at CynthiaHyatt.com and on social media under Cynthia Hyatt Inc. for current events, updates, and inspiration during your week. And now, here's Cynthia.
Well, thank you for joining me today. This is Cynthia Hyatt, and we are doing, again, Conversations with Cynthia. So I'm so glad you joined me today. And I have a very special guest with me today, as well as a series that we are doing. And this is kind of a four-part series, and it is around breast cancer. And this is a part of the educational process that we do in this show. And so I thought it was really imperative that I maybe took some time on this issue of breast cancer, because we all seem to have been touched by it in some way. Either we've experienced it ourselves, we know somebody that has, we've had a scare with it, we know someone that has passed from it or is in the midst of a battle from it. And so I really wanted to take some time and give some education, some really helpful education about the newest things that are happening, certainly in the health and wellness issue around breast cancer, but also that I would have you talk with someone that has not only survived breast cancer, but works very closely in the industry now in helping women go through the screening process as well as all the way through the diagnostic and the treatment of it. So I have with me today Paula Miller, and she is the Community Outreach and Patient Resource Manager. She's a certified breast navigator and breast advocate at the Honor Health Breast and Health and Research Center here in Phoenix. And she originally meets with the newly diagnosed patients and their families. She's also the program manager for support groups, wellness programs, and resources. And then, of course, like I told you, she brings a very personal experience of being a breast cancer survivor herself to that position. So I'm really excited, Paula, to have you today. And I want you just to say hello to the listeners, and maybe we can start with some of where your heart is today about talking about this whole entire process.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me. I'm really honored to be here. The whole passion behind it all, like you said, kind of, well, did start with my own story, to make a very long one short, because I know we're on limited time. I'm a 7-year survivor.
Congratulations.
For those, thank you. It'll be 7 years this August. So for those of you who understand anything about breast cancer, and then I'll explain it, I am a genetically mutated BRCA1 carrier, triple negative, stage 3C, breast cancer survivor, diagnosed at 35 after 6 years of being told I was too young to have breast cancer and my lump was nothing. So in the grand scheme of things, I kind of poo-pooed a lot of physical ailments for myself until I took the initiative to tell someone to listen. I ended up being a very advanced disease in one breast and lymph nodes. Triple negative is considered the more aggressive breast cancer, especially for young women. And, of course, I have the BRCA1 mutation, or that BRCA gene, that basically is that when I go out and educate, I say, I have that one gene that tells my body to not kick the drunk guy out of my party. And so smart enough to say, you're ruining my house, get out. So at my time of diagnosis, I think they gave me a survival rate of 30%. And here I am almost 7 years later. I know that it's because God has a bigger, better plan for me, and that led me to my job and my position of having the privilege to be able to meet with newly diagnosed women regularly and hopefully just sharing a little bit of hope. I think we talked about that, of
Yes.
That's the message we want to give out at the end of all this, is that there's a lot of hope, and there's a lot of grace that can come across in a diagnosis. So hopefully we'll be able to share a little bit of that. So that's a quick
version. Amazing. That's amazing. How long was the battle for you to get you to the place where that you feel you're somewhat stable?
I'm not stable. Ask my husband. No, I'm kidding. It's very different for everyone. For my particular path, the minute I was diagnosed, the first thing I did was hit my knees. I had no other option but to give it to my Lord and say, take me, lead it. The ironically funny thing is 3 weeks prior to that, two weeks prior, I had prayed to be used for something bigger and better for His kingdom, and then I was diagnosed. So, be careful how you pray, what you pray for. That's okay. So here I sit and here I be, and
I appreciate you saying that about praying for that, because one of the things I've found in my life and certainly in my practice is sometimes we think that we initiate that prayer and then God goes, okay, good, now I can do what I wanted to do,
right.
And we think, wow, why did I ask for that? And I know that really the heart of God, and I know you know this because you've experienced it, is that He kind of gives us an inkling to buy into what He knows is going to happen to us. It's like God never chooses heartache for us. But the Holy Spirit kind of starts to work in us, and all of a sudden we start finding ourselves asking for something, which helps us prepare in an odd way for maybe a really big trial that God says, I would never wish this on you, but I'm going to carry you through it, and I'm going to make a better thing out of it.
I agree, and some of the best line I've heard is actually from the youth director from our church, who we do a lot of work with youth, and he says, it either comes by God's hand or through God's hand, but He always knows what's going to happen.
I love that.
And I thought, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes. Wow. Not that He's going to make bad things happen, but if something bad's going to happen, it's going to happen by His hand and on His terms. And that's just the way it's going to be.
With His participation.
To be able to trust that. Exactly.
Right.
And to just trust that. Believe me, it's still an ongoing process every day is okay, Lord, I do trust you. I say I trust you, but now I have to live that. I have to act that. And it's not always easy, especially through a diagnosis where you're challenged and the only thing you can hear of when you hear that word cancer is death.
Right.
And that's not it. That's not how it has to be. I wish I could say that's not the way it always is. But, we were born into sin, and these things are going to happen. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have come. He's going to fix all that. Whether we see it here on earth, where nothing's supposed to be perfect anyway, or we see it later in life, after life in heaven.
Well, I'm sure.
That's His grace.
I'm sure you never, dreamed of or wanted to be an expert in this. But you really kind of are, and you help so many people with what you do, and you have so much education, personal, and then obviously, professional education, but you really have authority when you talk to people about the issue of hope, because you have one of the worst diagnoses you could possibly have had, and you're here on this show talking about it.
Well, thank you.
So it's amazing. Amazing.
That's God. That it's not me. I still get nervous before I speak. I still get nervous before every patient. And it's just one of those things where I just, okay, Lord, this isn't about me. It's about you. And truly that's what I have to remember, is it's not about me. But thank you. But I just like to say, well, thank goodness I'm listening.
Right.
Because if I wasn't listening to what He wanted, none of this matters. Because I guarantee when the time we're done, I'm going to hang up with you and go, did that sound right? Because I don't remember a thing.
Which is good.
Don't worry, that's the Holy Spirit. You're good. You're good. So.
Exactly. Well, and we prayed before this. I wanted to make sure that the right people heard, and that they heard what God really wanted to say, because certainly this is focused on breast cancer, but cancer is cancer. You know, and so we're wanting to always give hope, that our Lord always has hope for anything that we go through in our life. And so let me just make sure that I give people some just basic information. So what happens when someone, like you started with talking about these physical ailments that you ignored, like what would be some of that? And then talk to us about how, what happens when someone is first gets their diagnosis and they sit there and they hear that word and what that process, now we're kind of, now it begins. So give us a little idea of that.
Sure. So signs and symptoms. You know, for a long time they would give out those shower cards and say, this is how you check yourself. This is the rules and regulation to doing a breast exam. And that really changed a few years ago to more of a breast awareness. I mean, we all know they're there, right? Some of them stare us in the face more than others, okay? We all know they're there. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is awareness of who we are in our bodies. What does it look like? You know, I was raised Southern Baptist, very conservative. I loved the way I was raised. But I was also raised not so much talking about my body, how it should look, how it shouldn't look. And that's really important because in the bottom line is no one's going to know me better than me. And so I need to know what my normal is. And so that's the change. That's the mindset that's changed. What is your normal? And the only way to know your normal is to look in the mirror and get over our body issues, because they're wonderfully and perfectly made by God. So let's try to look beyond that. So what we're looking for is a couple of things. Now, we're not all symmetrical, so you're going to have a little bit of more of a sag and more of a different shape from one breast to the other, but we're looking for major changes. Is one significantly bigger but wasn't bigger before? Is your nipple inverted? Is your nipple got a little crustiness on it? Is your skin thick, kind of like an orange peel, dimply, you can see the pores? Is it hot, red to the touch? Can you feel a lump? So that means you do have to touch them. You got to know they're there. And what it is your breast tissue actually goes from your collarbone to your rib and from your sternum to your rib. So we really need to be able to feel in a symmetrical up, down, left, right area and really feel. And you're going to look for something hard. It's not necessarily going to be round, but you're going to look for your normal. And even if you think, I'm not sure that's normal or not, that's when you go to your doctor. That's when you say, look, I've done this a long time. He's been with me for a while. I don't remember that being there. Help me process through this. And that's what's really important. So awareness is something that is not your normal.
Okay,
that's
good.
The most important thing. And then after that, you know, the process should be your doctor should do a breast exam to you. Talk about what the finding is. My personal opinion is, you know, if that doctor's not sure either, there's no harm, no foul in getting an ultrasound. Ultrasound is just that. It's based off sound. That wand, kind of like everyone has for pregnancy, that's going to tell us through sound if something is hard and full or if it's made of fluid, like a cyst. That's a pretty good clarification right there if you're feeling something. So sometimes, you know, peace of mind makes a big difference. Let's just rule it out. Of course, then if it's something else and go to mammography, there's needle biopsies that can be somewhat uncomfortable, but if they're done right, they really shouldn't be too uncomfortable. And then we go from there. So there are different guidelines. They go off age. We don't like to give mammograms and radiate women under 30, 35 preferably, if we don't have to. So, you know, there's always a hesitancy. Well, they wouldn't give me a mammogram. That's okay if that ultrasound isn't leaving you with a little bit of doubt. It's okay, because we really don't want to cause any more damage by radiating a young person if we don't need to.
So having really good communication skills
is really important.
But we are generally saying that people would start those types of things at 40, right? Are you saying, now you were diagnosed at 35, correct?
I was. So mammography, the national guidelines, American Cancer Society, the American College of Radiology states a woman at age 40 will start getting a mammogram every year, and we follow that. We go by those guidelines. Under 40, you can get a baseline, usually through your insurance company, at 35. Get your baseline. You won't have anything. So when you go in at 40, you're going to have something to compare it to. Now, with that said, there's always variances to the algorithm. So for myself, I was diagnosed at 35. 25 would be 10 years prior to my diagnosis, the time when my daughter should really begin having regular screening. But now we're back to the rule of we don't want to radiate a young woman under the age of 30, 35. But we can do ultrasound, can do MRI.
So you're kind of saying, you know, if you have a history of breast cancer in your family, you might want to be starting screening sooner.
And that's a whole different scenario. So breast exams, self-breast exams. Personally, those need to be done starting right around 20, maybe even younger. Depends on the child. But certainly we need to start talking to our children about the importance of good health, right? We need to make sure
exactly
that we're talking about those things in order to make sure that they're not embarrassed. They're comfortable with their body. Young girls have body image issues all the time. So getting good conversation about how God made you, why God made you, how perfectly God made you is really, really important. Then once
right.
they get their 20s, those breast exams are important because, you know what, hey, we're going to college. We need to start taking care of ourselves. We need to be advocates for ourselves, and we're hitting that adult world. You know, here we go. Again, mom and dad aren't going to be there to help you get through that. So that's really important.
So I think you brought up a good point about the way that you were raised and not being, you know, focused on your body. And so I think it would be good for listeners to hear, you know, some of the important issues of the personal things about how much we are to love our bodies, and maybe how much you learned you had to learn to love your body through a really difficult process.
Well, it is a difficult process. You know, once you get to, many, many women have lumpectomies if they
right.
find a cancer and they get them removed. That in itself can be just as hard on a woman as if they had a single mastectomy or a double mastectomy. And it does come down to, you know, gosh, it just comes down to love for you.
Well, it does. It really, and it comes down to acceptance. And I think part of why we're doing this today is we're really wanting to cut down on some of the fear that people have, or the not knowing how to help somebody or how to encourage somebody, or how, you know, when someone has had, you know, a mastectomy or they're going through that, how do you love them and help them feel a new normal?
You know, I think this is hardest. That's a great question that I get faced with by spouses in particular a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What do
right.
I say? How do I let her know how much I love her and that this doesn't matter? And all I can say is just love her through it. It's such a personal thing, and it's such a hard thing. And love her through it, pray her through it. Because these are issues, you know, we're born into a world that says as a young woman, you have long hair, nice breasts, a thin waist, do what you're told, and then the prince will ride in on his white horse, handsome
right.
and wonderful, and he's going to save you. And then we live
right.
happily ever after.
Right.
But then maybe something like this occurs, any cancer, pick a cancer. If you have to go through any part of it, and specifically for those men and women who have to do chemo, you've lost your hair. Maybe you have a mastectomy and you do lose your breasts. And for those of us who've gone through it, you take steroids and your waist starts to grow a little bit. You're
right.
no longer that princess that Disney talks about, and your prince is riding in, but now he doesn't know how to make it better. So we really
right.
kind of have done a disservice by all the princess movies. When we need to get back to that Proverbs 31 woman and say, look, it's not what you wear. It's not how you look. I mean, when I was diagnosed, I had a dear friend, Vicky, who was going through a different cancer with me. We both lost our hair. We're going through it. My husband sent the Proverbs 31 woman that, you know, do not adorn your body with gold. It's not about your hair. It's not about
mm-hmm.
anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be reminded of that. But we have to be reminded of that whether or not we have cancer.
Well, and I think that's really important, because the whole point of really loving who God made us is that he chose the body for us as well. It wasn't happenstance. And so he loves our body as much as we could ever imagine, and he hates what happens to it when it is diseased or harmed or cancered, any of these things. And when I work with women that have to struggle with cancer, and especially breast cancer, is one of the biggest assaults to femininity that you could have. I mean, it just is horrible. And one of the things that we have to do is, part of it is the mindset of, am I thinking loving thoughts toward my body? Am I being a friend to my own body, or am I seeing my body as my own enemy that has somehow betrayed me?
Right.
You know, and we have to change around that thinking, because the fight, the battle that we're waging against the thing that's happened to our body is not our body's fault. And the more we can love our body, think those healthy thoughts toward our body, be our own best friend to our body, not be mad at our body, it helps whatever, you know, medication we're doing or whatever, you know, extreme measures we're having to do to have to survive the assault on our body.
Right. And there are studies out there that are showing that, you know, the whole body, mind, spirit sort of thing, cells generate better when we're feeling good, when we're positive, when we have some sort of encouragement, even if it's just every, you know, sometimes it's a minute by minute thing. That's okay.
Right, you're right.
But to just remind ourselves, I mean, there's a reason people keep verses on their desk or on their phone or written, tattooed on their body. We need to remember. We need to constantly remind ourselves, because God can be sitting there talking like you and I are, but it doesn't mean we're going to hear him. We have to allow ourselves to hear him. And if we can hear him by words from other people of affirmation or his word, those are the kind of things, and those help that whole body, mind, spirit, and the rejuvenation of self. Look, don't get me wrong. I look in the mirror regularly and go, really? Are you kidding me? You know, or, gosh, I wish I just had long hair again. Or, you know, because my husband loves my hair short. This is silly, but this is our ongoing. He loves my hair short. I just want to curl it. I just want to pull it in a ponytail every day for a month. Because I'm a girl. That's what we do. But I know I'll cut it back off again and make it short again because he loves it and I love that. But, you know, it's a constant battle. And
but it's different
remember,
when you get to choose that. It's different when you get to choose that when the cancer chose it for you. So we have maybe 6 minutes. So I want you to talk for a couple of minutes just about the issue of anger and how you help people that... You know, for me, if I'm helping somebody that is going through it and how angry they are, or how you battled it yourself with that anger.
You know, the one thing I do is when I can sit in front of a patient and they're like, no, I'm good. Okay. Thank you so much. I'm like, okay, we need to put this information away and now we're going to talk. Because, and then I have other ones that just fall apart and they cry or they get mad. And they apologize. I'm like, please don't. I know you're processing. It's those people who go, no, I'm good. No, it's God. No, it's fine. God's good. That's great. Yeah. Because you're about to have a major breakdown. And now I'm worried. Because those are the kind of people that don't get out of bed for 2 or 3 days. Whose spouse might be calling me and saying, she's yelling at me because I want her to take a shower. What do I do? You know, so it's good to process. I did get angry. And my husband, as a caregiver, all I can say is let him go. Let him go. Let them vent. It's not you. They're mad at something, as you stated, we don't have control over. And they've lost control. And we as women, it's even worse because we control everything, right? We're the parent. We're the housekeeper. We're the taxi drivers. We're the whatevers. And now we have to rely on other people. So let her go, let her vent, and then as my husband said, he looked at me, he said, are you done? I said, yes, and he left the room, and I thought, are you kidding me? You just left me here alone in the bedroom, and he comes back with my Bible, and he goes, I love you, but I don't know what to say, only he does. He handed me the Bible and walked out the door, and I thought, that was pretty wise. Or really chicken. I'm not sure. But no,
Well, the most important thing was he accepted your anger and didn't judge you for it.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's huge.
And
we have to
do that with people.
Yes.
Absolutely. But as a caregiver, I want to encourage them that they need to be able to express themselves too.
Because yes,
then
exactly.
It becomes explosive. And really, you're not angry. Whether you're a sister, a mother, a husband, whomever, you're not angry at each other. You're angry at the situation, and you're afraid. And those are very real feelings, and we need to acknowledge them. Just like you said, acknowledge them, but now, what are we going to do with it? Okay? We've cried.
And we want to remind ourselves that we are not the enemy, that cancer is the enemy. We are not the enemy. You know, our body isn't the enemy. The doctors aren't the enemy. You know, the our friends and family and society, and that, you know, we need to remind ourselves that cancer is truly the enemy, and that's who we're fighting.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord is not the enemy. The enemy is the evil one who's trying to separate
that's
us
exactly
from him.
Right.
And if this
that's
is,
exactly
you know,
right.
And I think of Job, and my father was diagnosed with a different cancer and passed away 2 months after I was diagnosed. So
oh,
we went
wow.
through a lot together. And I kept remember saying, I feel like Job. I just feel like Job, and it's a burden. And my mom said, no. Job thought this as a privilege because he was doing this for God. He was being used. And I had to change my mindset because so much it's focused on the complaining that Job and his friends did for a while. And
right.
then you get to a certain chapter, and God just says, all right, you want to go there? Take this like a man. Who are you to tell me how to do things? I told the shore when to stop. I told the sun when to rise. I told the
right.
birds how to live. I'm paraphrasing because I'm terrible at memorizing.
No,
but read Job.
No, but
it's
I think
amazing.
Your point is, yeah, I think your point is
but
that it's important that God loves to listen to the lamenting of our heart.
He wants
but then
to
at some point,
us.
Yes. But then at some point, you know, God is going to say, and God knows when that time is. You know, God really knew when to say to Job, okay, now we're going to move on. You know, God is really good
right.
about hearing our heart, our crying, our whining, our complaining, because
yep.
he knows we're humans and we need
yep.
to do that. And then he
and
says,
I can say for my story, he did that.
Yes, yes.
He knew when to speak, and but I had to know when to listen.
Right, right. So we have about 2 minutes. You know, if anybody here that's listening to the show would like to have more information, how might they get a hold of you? Or, you know, what would be the best thing? Or what kind of resources would you recommend that they start looking into?
Oh, my gosh. So there's one resource that is amazing that we were able to put together with a partnership with the CDC not too long ago.
Okay.
The initiative that started it went away, but the website has remained. It's www.azbreastcancer.org.
Okay, say that one more time.
www.azbreastcancer.org. Sorry.
Okay.
We try to put everything on it. So a lot of us got together. What worked for you? What didn't work for you during your diagnosis, during your treatment plan? And it always came down to resources, financials. How can we help? But education, how to empower somebody in certain things. So on this website, there are questions to ask your physician. These are just questions we thought were important that everybody should know the answer to. Some of them will pertain to you. Some of them don't. Print them off, look at them, review them, ask your doctor. And I always say, ask your doctor 20 times. Even if you think you've asked it and he's answered it, ask 21 times, because guess what? A good doctor is going to answer you 21 times.
Right.
There's videos on different procedures. There's different support groups. There's videos on talking to young children. But it's a really good site as long as other financial helping information from everything to anything. Most of them are Arizona-based, but not necessarily. They can always contact me on my email or through the ArizonaBreastCancer.org email. It's on that website.
Okay.
I view that website, that email, so that's okay too. If you need to, you can, I don't know if you want me to give my email now or if you'll just post
That'd
it on
great.
Your blog.
Yeah,
that would work.
No, the email would be great.
Okay,
the
so
best
my
place
email
to get,
is Paula with two L's dot Miller at honorhealth.com.
That's awesome.
Paula with two L's, P-A-U-L-L-A dot Miller with two L's at honorhealth.com.
Well, Paula,
if
thank
I don't
you
know
so
the
much.
Answer, I'll find the answer.
I so appreciate you being on the show today, and I'm looking forward to next week because we're having you again with our friend Jan James, who when we are talking about the many faces of breast cancer. So, listeners, join us again next week. I pray that you have a blessed week, and if you know anyone or yourself, please take advantage of this information, and God be with you this week.